We have to be careful. We can't trust anyone, but in the dark, your thoughts are your own. Those lines from a play titled Pyongyang, which tells the love story of two North Koreans, written by playwright In-suk Chapel, who was actually adopted from this peninsula and brought up in the UK. She was inspired to bring the story to life by a childhood visit to the demilitarized zone, along with personal encounters with North Korean refugees. Let's hear more from her, this morning's person, Ms. Chapel, based in London. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's lovely to speak to you today.
And your play, Pyongyang, of course, with a name like that, it automatically has connotations, but it is a love story.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you tell us more about the personal motivation behind it?
Well, as you mentioned, I was taken to the demilitarized zone as a teenager, so that made a big impression on me. So growing up, I always had an awareness and interest in North Korea. A Korean friend took me to a screening of a play about North Korean human rights. And the film wasn't particularly remarkable, but I remember what was remarkable was the atmosphere in the room. And a lady two seats away from me sort of collapsed. And yeah, there was just this really sort of electric atmosphere. And I learned that most of the audience were North Korean refugees. And that was the first time that I realized that there was a North Korean refugee community in London.
Mm. Can you tell us a bit briefly about the plot of the play?
Yeah, well, it's a love story between two childhood sweethearts. And they first meet auditioning for drama school. And they connect through their love of the cinema. And they dream of going to Pyongyang and working for Kim Jong-il's film studios. Eun Mi, the girl, gets into drama school. And Chi Soo, the boy, who's sort of he's very handsome and the sort of school heartthrob, he doesn't get in, which surprises him. And he finds out, because he didn't get in, he finds out about his Songbun and finds out for the first time that he's in the hostile class because his father fought on the wrong side in the Korean War. So, it's a love story across the class divide. Because of his Songbun, he ends up staying in the north of North Korea, and he can only be a minor, whereas she gets into drama school and she goes to Pyongyang and sort of climbs all the way up to become a sort of starlet of the North Korean film industry. So it's sort of set between these two very different worlds of, you know, the sort of, well, kind of glamour of the North Korean film studios in Pyongyang and, you know, the really harsh life that people had in the north of North Korea, where, you know, the states where there was very little food and the states that really suffered during the famine. But despite the difference in their lives, they still managed to keep in touch and eventually try and escape together.
Well, the stage offers a fair degree of artistic license, I imagine.
Yes.
but by the same token, presumably you wanted authenticity too. How did you go about verifying the details of this story?
I read an awful lot. I did a lot of research. I went to listen to as many refugees speaking about their experiences as possible. I watched episodes of Now On My Way to Meet You, the South Korean TV show. I struggled for quite a long time to find a way in, partly because I think so many of the North Korean stories are so harsh. And I think that with theatre, there does have to be an element of entertainment as well. So I struggled to find a way of making that work. And then I came across that story of the South Korean film director that Kim Jong-il kidnapped, and then learned about the North Korean film industry and how actually Kim Jong-il had produced all these films. So then I thought, okay, that's an element that people maybe don't know about, and that's lighter, and it can be quite strange, and very theatrical.
Mm.
so that was sort of my way in. I watched an awful lot of North Korean films as well.
I wanted to ask you, though, more about your personal story for a moment, as an aside, your theatre background, how you got into that.
Well, I started originally as a dancer. I don't have a literary background. I wasn't particularly good at school or anything. I went to dance school and trained as a dancer and then injured my back. So I was having some time out and somehow wangled my way into the National Theatre into a production of Antony and Cleopatra and ended up doing a season in rep at the National and then sort of started acting. But I got quite frustrated with the types of roles that I was offered as an East Asian actress. So through frustration, I started writing.
And you've done very well out of it. In fact, you're just working on your...
Eventually.
Well, now you're second.
It took a while.
Every success story seems to have a few years behind it, which is...
More than you might wish, yeah.
Inspiring as well for others who are going through that struggle. But you're working on your second film.
Yes,
which
that's right.
Actually translates as Wandering Swallow. It is Kotebi.
Yeah.
And
yes, that's right.
You are the writer and director of that. It refers to North Korean orphans roaming the streets searching for food. They are the wandering swallows of this story. A story about a connection, I understand, between a child and a Korean War veteran. So...
Yeah, that's right.
You've stayed with the broad subject matter, but you've honed in on something quite different here. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, sure. Well, when I was writing Pyongyang, I was really... Do you remember that news story about the 9 North Korean orphans that crossed into China and were helped by missionaries?
Yes.
And they got all the way to Laos and then were repatriated?
Yes.
Well, I was really... I just remember being really, really moved by that story. And I read that there were a group of orphans who'd been sent earlier and they had made it to the West. So that was sort of, I wanted to write about one of these kids that had made it to the West. But then because it was a short film and I had a limited budget, you know, it was really hard because cinematically I imagined fabulous scenes, you know, sort of walking through the Gobi Desert and stuff. But so obviously on my budget, I couldn't manage to realise that.
Mm.
So I needed to find a way to really root it in the UK and make it British. Like I kind of wanted the short film to reflect my idea. Like I wanted it to be about Korea, but I also wanted it to be very British as well. And a really good friend of my parents fought in the Korean War. So he used to tell me his stories of writing in the Korean War. And I talked to quite a few British veterans who'd fought in the Korean War. And they were all on military service. So they were all 18, they were all teenagers who were sent to this really brutal war to a country they'd never heard about. So and also I think a lot of people my age don't even realize that Britain played a part in the Korean War. So I just thought that was a story that should be told.
Something else, of course, that many people might not be aware of is that the Korean War never reached any kind of satisfactory conclusion, even though they might be aware of the tensions that go on today. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So the film is sort of it makes a connection between someone who fought in the war and someone who grew up in the botched mess of that war.
Is there any final message that you might have for our listeners? Here we are, having just marked the 67th anniversary, the outbreak of the Korean War.
I guess just a sadness that the country's still divided and still at war.
Yeah, well, that's something I'm sure many of us would share. And thank you so much, Ms. Chappell, for taking the time to be this morning's person. We look forward to seeing more of your work on film, I'm sure.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to speak to you.
And likewise, I hope we get to see you on the stage as well. Insuk Chappell, playwright, filmmaker, this morning's person.